Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Let's shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, you're worthy tonight, Lord. I thank you. Well, hallelujah. Amen. Between younger brother Moats and elder brother Moats, I can't believe I'm up here. I was just ready for us to go on, haul off and have church around here. Amen. I sure do love you both very much. And I give honor to Sister Moats and younger Sister Moats. I got nicknames for them, but I don't know if they like them or not. So I'll just stick with Moats. I say elder, but he don't feel old. He's still young. He's still got that fuel. Amen. I'm thankful that my family is here. My wife, Marissa, Aria, and Chloe. Love them so much. And it's good. I'm thankful for all of the good things that God has blessed us with. Amen. I do feel the Holy Ghost in this house. And it feels like we already had altar call, but really, I'm wondering. We can do this. I mean, I can leave a good word, because all of this word is good. I could leave a scripture with us, and we can go drink Starbucks and feel like we had good church. That's option A. Or we can just give God. I mean, we're here anyway. We're here anyway. I mean, what do y'all say? Let's just have church around here for the next few moments. Yeah, when we were out in the world, I remember my mom, God miraculously, powerfully filled her with the gift of the Holy Ghost at the age of 19. And she's told God, I was the first one on the dance floor, and I was always the last one to leave. And that ain't changing now that I got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some of y'all, you're just beginning started. Let's give it all to Jesus tonight. What do you say? Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Musicians, praise singers, be on the ready, y'all. I don't know. I can tell you one thing that's going to happen for sure is I'm going to run out of voice before I run out of notes. I might pass this mic to my friend, Brother Darren, who says he can't preach with notes. But if you're going to preach my message, man, you got to stick to my notes. So if I pass this mic, man, you read every word. I put some work into this, man. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, it was the prophet Elisha who gave us our title. And tonight, I want to call on another man to give me my title. And we're going to call on him from the book of Acts, the 19th chapter. A famous man by the name of Paul. Acts, the 19th chapter. We'll read a couple of verses here in your hearing. Thank you. Thank you for worshiping and giving of your heart to the Lord today. It's made a difference. It's made a difference. And I'm thankful. Amen. If you found it, won't you say amen? Amen. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said, you see, these were men they had a heart towards God. They were disciples. But he had a question for them. He said, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? I'm going to stop there. And y'all, I know people normally wouldn't say this, but I copied my message tonight straight from Peter. And my title tonight is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple things right on the offset, okay? I know some of y'all are thinking, oh man, he's going to get our guests that are in the expensive seats. Yeah, I'm going to preach to the guests tonight, but I'm also preaching to you. You need the Holy Ghost. I know some of the preachers might be thinking, oh, yeah, I can see you back there. Oh, this message ain't for me. Oh, no, brother, I'm preaching to you. Amen. You need the Holy Ghost. I don't mean to offend anybody, but I can see some elders saying, oh yeah, back in 1903, I was one of the first ones in Hot Springs to ever receive the Holy Ghost. I love you. I honor you. And I don't mean no disrespect, my honey, my elder honey, I love you, and I'm preaching to you. You need the Holy Ghost tonight. Am I doing all right? Amen. Amen. Woo! I think we're about to have a breakthrough in this house tonight. I think we're about to have a breakthrough in this house tonight. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Man, God bless you. You may be seated. Brother Sal, man, my voice, I don't know. My voice, I must have left it in Franklin. And so it just help me out the best you can without hurting anybody in the audience. The other day, my wife and I were driving down the road. I forget what state we were in. And it wasn't the state of misery, but the happy state of marriage, I could tell you that. But the actual, you know, United States, I don't remember which one it was. And we were driving, and I looked over, and there was a man riding a scooter all by himself. Nobody else was around, and he had a backpack on, and he had a mask on. In 2024, and I thought to myself, bro, what are you doing? Fauci's been fired. God's still on the throne. Amen. I'm just saying. I say that to say this. Since 2024, can you feel that the spiritual climate has been ratcheted up on us? After yesterday's events, a friend of mine was there and he texted me. And I read it to Brother Darren Moats. He told me what happened. He said it's not in the news yet. And it feels to me like we are one event away from absolute anarchy. And if there was ever a day when we as a congregation, as a church, as a people of God, as a man or woman of God need the Holy Ghost walking with us every single day, it is this day. I can say that I am thankful that God has chosen me to walk in this day with the Holy Ghost. Since 2020, there have been some that being alone is such a dangerous thing. That's why I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful that God can knit hearts together and he can give us friends that will stick with us through thick and thin and adversity. I am thankful for that. But when you are alone, I don't know why I feel like saying this. You know, every time that Jesus showed up and a devil was there, you know what the devil would say? Leave us alone. And so if you're in this congregation tonight and you feel like I just want to be left alone, I pray that by the time I'm done preaching, you'll have a different mantra about you. You'll be saying, Jesus, don't leave me alone. Don't leave me comfortless. Don't leave me to my own devices. But Jesus, I need you. I need men in my life. I need women in my life that love. God, don't leave me alone. Man, I feel good in this house. And so we saw, and there are a bunch of statistics I could read that could get us all sad, but I don't got no sad message tonight. But man was reaching through the amount of drug addiction that it more than doubled and men and women that were involving themselves in the pleasure of sin to try to feel an emptiness in their life. In fact, a man by the name of Blaise Pascal said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. If you've tried drugs and they failed you, I've got your answer tonight. Try Jesus. If you've tried relationships and relationships have failed you, you've come to the right house tonight. I want to tell you, give Jesus a try. You've tried money. You've tried filling it with pleasure. I've got one more thing for you. Jesus. Somebody tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, try Jesus. Y'all see what I'm doing? I'm easing into this thing tonight. See, it is God's desire, his uncontroverted desire, to lead each and every single one of us. And there is no doubt in my mind tonight that everybody that is here beneath the sound of my voice as I serve you, you have been led by the hand of God to this sanctuary. You might be saying, no, preacher, I got an invite when I was at McDonald's eating my Happy Meal. Well, no, it was the hand of God that led you to this house. And it is the desire of God for every single one of us to be touched by his spirit. And there's no doubt as we were singing that everybody in this house was touched and blessed by the spirit of God. But it doesn't stop there. I want everybody to understand that it is the desire of God for every single one of us to be filled. Filled. Not just 90% of the way, not just 98. I'm talking all the way till it's gushing out of us, till it flows out of us, the innermost part of our being. Hallelujah. It is Joel that gives us insight to what it's like to live beyond the blessing. Joel tells us when he writes in Joel, the second chapter, verse number 27, he tells us what is going to happen. He says, it shall, let me just get right to the point here. It shall come to pass afterward that I, the Spirit of God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men are going to dream dreams, and your young men are going to see visions. It is Isaiah that looks down the telescope of time. Oh, there ain't nothing like the Spirit of God. And he sees beyond where he is living. And he tells us how this thing is going to come to pass. In Isaiah 28 and 11, he writes, for with stammering lips, oh, hallelujah, and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Amen. I feel like stopping there and talking a little bit. Amen. Have you ever experienced, and let me start my timer, hallelujah. Time starts now. I forgot to do it. Have you ever been in a place, and I alluded to this, my pre-ramble. I ought to patent that. Pre-ramble. Amen. I'm getting distracted. Oh, God, help me. I'm not even going to look over there at my wife. I know exactly what. She'll give me the look, the hurry up and preach look. I ain't looking over there, bro. Amen. I'm going to hang with you tonight. Amen. Hey, have you ever been in a place where you were weary? I'm not talking about the weariness that you might feel after a long day's work, but I'm talking about a weariness of your soul where you feel like there's no place to rest. It feels like you're always looking over your shoulder emotionally, spiritually. I'm here to tell you that you've come to a house of rest. And the reason this is a house of rest is because the Holy Ghost is in the music. The Holy Ghost is on the pulpit. The Holy Ghost is on the platform. And the Holy Ghost is in the pew. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Man, y'all, my voice is all messed up. I'm going to go on anyway. Is that all right? Amen. Now, this is good Bible study. John the Baptist shows up on the scene after 400 years of silence, and he preaches a peculiar message. A peculiar man with a peculiar message. Man that was clothed in camel's hair with a girdle of skin, leather, about his loins. He ate locusts and wild honey, and he preached to them saying, there is one that is mightier than I, that he's on his way after me, the latchet of his shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He said, I baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you, can I say it, with the Holy Ghost. John shows us whose spirit it is that's going to dwell on the inside and make a change on the outside. It's the Spirit of God. Woo. Jesus shows up in Luke, the 24th chapter, and he's talking to those chosen 12. And he says, y'all, I'm going to tell you about where and when this is to happen. He says, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, not in some ethereal, imaginary place, but he said it's going to start in Jerusalem, not in Rome, but in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And when you get to Jerusalem, you just tarry and you wait, because there's going to come a mighty rushing wind that's going to fill the house, and you're going to be endued with power from on high. Power that'll make you a witness. Power that will change you. Power over sin. Power over addiction. Power over depression. I am thankful for the Holy Ghost. I've got to tell you, in the context of this writing, when Luke is writing, he also writes about these two that are on their way on the road to Emmaus. And I don't know if they heard the direction or not, but the principle is important to me as I share my heart with you tonight. These two are headed in the complete opposite direction of Jerusalem because they're heartbroken by circumstances. Oh, God, help me right now. You may be heartbroken by circumstances that are out of your control, and you're headed on the road to addiction. You're headed on the road to brokenness. But look at what happens. Jesus shows up with them, and he starts talking to them, and he starts ministering to them. I'm here to tell you, you may be headed the wrong way, but Jesus has showed up tonight and he's talking to you. And the message is this: don't go that way. Stop in your tracks. Won't you turn around? Won't you repent and head toward Jerusalem? Go to a place of safety. Go to a place where they love you. Go to a place where they're investing you. In case you're missing it, get to church. Get to church. Get to church. Get to praying. Get to praising. Get to shouting again. Somebody say, I'm going to Jerusalem. And so here they are. I feel like saying this too. That's why it's important. That's why it's important. You may feel God. You might. But that's not enough. You've got to be filled. You've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so here they are, the day of Pentecost. It's fully come. They're all, I love this, with one accord, in one place. We're all in one accord tonight, and we're in one place. And the Bible says that suddenly, not surprisingly, I like this word. It wasn't a shock. No, they were there tarrying. They were there waiting. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And look at what happened. Look at how the Holy Ghost works. It fills the house where they were sitting, but he doesn't stop there. He fills every vessel. I'm thankful you can feel God, but I pray by the time I'm done preaching in the next 5 minutes, you'll be filled with him. Up here on the platform, back there at the back door, from that side to that side, I want everybody. I want everybody to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I wrote this on the way to church. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. The Holy Ghost is an encourager. The Holy Ghost will guide you. The Holy Ghost will help you. The Holy Ghost will give you rest. The Holy Ghost will cause you to question some things, and it'll give you the answer for others. The Holy Ghost will give you peace in the midst of the storm. The Holy Ghost will strengthen you. The Holy Ghost will teach you. The Holy Ghost remembers, and it'll bring things to your memory. The Holy Ghost speaks. The Holy Ghost convicts. The Holy Ghost delivers. The Holy Ghost connects and the Holy Ghost directs. Somebody rise to your feet right now and lift your hands and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. My God, my God, my God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I preach for about 3 more minutes, y'all? Y'all help me out. Where's my man Matthew? Come on, help me out. Help me on this organ. Come help me on the organ. I need a couple praise singers. We're about to have a Holy Ghost breakout here tonight. Amen. You be seated, be seated, be seated, be seated. The process here, and I'm going to give some instruction for the altar call right now. The process here is that the 120 were obedient. You ever notice this, Pastor? One day I'm going to be real smart and real polished and smooth like you, and I'm going to preach a message. I'm going to preach a message without breaking a sweat and making up my own words. It's going to be good. You know what I'm going to preach about? I'm going to preach the ingredient of miracles. Because every time a miracle was performed, there is a necessary ingredient called obedience that precedes the miracle. Oh, can I work right here for a minute? There are some folk that want to do things their own way, that are waiting for something to fall out the sky, but they are disobedient. Honey, you've got to bring the ingredient of obedience so that God can pour it out. Come to the Mahata. Woo! Amen. So they were obedient. They came to Jerusalem and they were waiting. They were tarrying. There's a difference in between waiting. Oh, man, y'all. Sometimes my wife will make me take her to the mall and I gotta sit out there in the car and I wait. I don't know when she or if she's ever gonna return. There's a difference in between waiting and tarrying. If you're waiting, you have no expectation. But when you're tarrying, you know that if God promised it, God's gonna do it. And so if God said to wait on me, it's just gonna be a little while and we're gonna hear the wind come rushing through this house. And cloven tongues, like as a fire, is gonna set upon the young, the old. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. So they're like, the mockers are there. I can feel somebody saying, boy, if I sign up with this crazy bunch of people, I don't think my family's ever gonna love me again. But you just hang on, because the mockers that were there saying, these men are full of new wine. It wasn't very long till they were asking, what must we do to be saved? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Y'all, look at you guys. Got this Michigan boy talking like I'm from here. Y'all, what's that? All right, I worked so hard on this, and I promise I'll quit, okay? I skipped pages 4, 5, 6, and 7 to get to this because I worked so hard, and I can't let my work go down the drain. I got to earn this tonight, all right? Who needs the Holy Ghost? Who needs the Holy Ghost? Number one, followers of Jesus. Because in Acts 1 and 4, there's a list there of those that were assembled together. In verse 13 tells us who they were. They were hand-picked disciples of Jesus Christ. They needed the Holy Ghost. And if they need the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Number two. Check this out. Mary, the mother of Jesus, a walking miracle, was in the upper room. And if Mary needs the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost. Outsiders. Acts 8 and 5 talks about Samaritans. Outsiders need the Holy Ghost. Religious people. Acts 9. This man by the name of Saul, that was religious, needed the Holy Ghost. And if Paul needed the Holy Ghost, y'all can help me preach. Say, I need the Holy Ghost. All right, y'all ain't even ready for me yet. Oh, man. I'm gonna have to duck behind my glasses and say this. Praying people need the Holy Ghost. Because in Acts 10, there was a man of Caesarea named Cornelius that prayed. But even Cornelius needed the Holy Ghost. Honey, somebody say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I'm gonna quit. And then in our text, Acts 19, remember that man who gave me my title? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? You know who he was preaching to? He was preaching to church members. I'm trying to behave right now, so don't tell me you got the Holy Ghost and you're still sitting in the back waiting for me to dismiss for Starbucks. You need the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me you're a preacher. You ain't moved in years. You need the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. You know what Aria told me the other day? My little baby girl, she said, Daddy, I only get the Holy Ghost when the preaching is real good. And I feel that coming from some of y'all. Y'all are waiting. Honey, I don't preach any better than this. You wait till next week when Pastor gets the mic. But for right now, let's just enjoy this baloney. Come on up here. We about to have a Holy Ghost outpouring, a upper room experience. Come on up. I'm waiting on you. You're waiting on me. Starbucks ain't gonna come here. It's Holy Ghost time. I have never done this before. I have never done this before, and I would never compare myself to Jesus, but I feel like doing something Jesus will do right now. If you don't got faith that God can fill every single person here with the Holy Ghost, we're going to pray in a moment, and in that time, I want you to be dismissed, because I feel like God wants to work miracles in this house, but I don't want your unbelief to hinder the hand of God. I'm not being rude. I'm not being rude, but I feel like today we need to break the chains of unbelief. We need to let the fetters go and say, God, you can have your way in this house. Oh, I'm gonna lean in here. I'm gonna quit. I'm out of time. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And we need miracles in this house tonight. And my faith is saying, God, you can do it. God, you can do it. We sin right now. We're going to, this is how the altar call is going to go. We sin with the things that we see. We sin with the things that we say. We sin with the things that we allow our ear, we give our ear to. We sin with the things that we think. So for the next few moments tonight, I don't do this often, but I feel like doing it right now. I want everybody in this house, including the preacher on the platform. We're going to lift our hands and we're going to repent of our sins. Right now, everybody, God, from the pulpit to the very back door, God, from the musicians all the way back to the sound booth, everybody in this room, God, we're repenting of the things that we've said. We're repenting of the things that we have given our ear to. We're repenting of our doubt. Oh, God, we're repenting, oh, God, of our lack of faith, of our disobedience, for not being in alignment with you, Jesus. Young men, you need to repent right now of the things that you've allowed into your life. You need the Holy Ghost. Mama, you need to repent for some of the things that you've said. That gossiping tongue, repent right now. Because God wants to fill us with the Holy Ghost. That's it right there. Amen. 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 I feel the Holy Ghost starting to come. I feel Him working in us right now. God can heal when we repent. Amen. Y'all want to step in a little further tonight? Y'all want to? Bam. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but tonight, if you'll make me room right here in this pulpit, just make me little you right in front of the pulpit. There's somebody in this house that can be honest and say, preacher, it's been a long time. And a long time to you can be one day, 10 days, or 100 days. We are not here to judge, but I'm here to tell you that you need a breakthrough. If you could say, preacher, it's been a long time since I have broken through, with stammering lips and another tongue. I'm not questioning my salvation, but preacher, I want a breakthrough tonight. I'm preaching to young men. I'm preaching to elders. I'm preaching to young ladies. I'm preaching to you. I want you to just make your way toward the center right now. Can you do that? Can you be honest? If I was where you were, I would be one of the first ones here. Come on, come on. No pride, no pride, no pride, no pride. Come on, come on. That's it. Preacher, tonight, I need a breakthrough. Come on, sister. Come on. If you're, come on, come on. Say, preacher, I want a breakthrough tonight. You can just gather toward the center. Well, we about to have Holy Ghost outpouring tonight. If you need a healing in your body and you know the Holy Ghost is able, I'm inviting you. Come on up here. Come on up. Come on up. We're about to have a Holy Ghost prayer meeting. My faith right now is so crazy. I feel like God could do anything. Come on up. The musicians are about to play. And Sister Madison, come on up here. Babe, come on up here. We're going to walk through. And we're about to have ourselves a Holy Ghost Umber Room experience in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. And let's tarry on God right now.